maybe I'm just becoming more ornery as I get older, but I drove out. I went to visit my parents one of the days this week, and I drove out, and there was a woman in a – they're not in an old age home, by the way. It's a woman in a walker walking towards the gate, but so slowly. So, I mean, yeah, I've learned patience. I've had to and be mindful and all of that. Use the force, Luke, all that stuff, right? So I've become much more – I know what to do. I just calmly count to 1,000, and then she takes one step with the walker, count to another 1,000, takes the next step with the walker. I don't know where she was going or what she was doing, but she was right in the middle of the road, so I couldn't do anything about it. And then and I obviously took a picture and sent this to my whole family and said, what the fuck is this? And then drove down the road for, I don't know, 20 meters. And there's an old white lady in a wheelchair being pushed by her daughter across the road. I'm like, what's going on here? When did this become like a geriatric street? And I realized why this is. I think I've spoken about it on the show before. My grandparents, with the exception of my paternal grandfather, they all died before I was 12. So three of them went early. So I never really developed any like old people kindness. You know, if you have old people around you as you become an adult yourself, I think you're a lot more patient with old people. Three of my grandparents were like, we're out of here. And I just never learned to really like old people. They all smell of wee, if you ask me. They take up a lot of space. They constantly like talking about their health issues. It's very, very odd. I mean, I'm not good at this stuff. I'm not good at the old people thing. So I don't know if it's just me. Maybe you're the same. And if you are, don't feel bad. That's all I'm going to say to you. Okay, we've got a bunch of stuff to do today. Leanne is in first, and then we've got Ben with some sport. But before we get to any of that stuff, I did want to bring up one other thing. James, you got all that stuff I sent you? All right. So just show them the kid who is on the bike and then he falls and he gets up straight away and starts dancing. This is how we should all tackle life. So almost the opposite of the old people discussion. This is how we should all deal with failure and when things don't go our way, which happens a lot. You know, I realized something else this week is that many people are pretending that their life is great. You know, they pretend they love their jobs. They pretend they are in a happy marriage. They pretend they are proud of their kids or whatever. A lot of these people are struggling. They're putting up a facade. They're trying to impress the rest of us. They're probably quite miserable deep down inside, but they don't want to admit that, right? The last thing you do is admit that you are not perfect, because then that has all kinds of social consequences for people. And I think we've got to stop doing that too. But if you are and you do fall down, be like this kid. He's great. Watch what he does. Where to start? No need to ask. He's a smooth operator. That's awesome. All right. So Donna says, I would have jumped out and helped the elderly lady across. She's in a wheelchair and her daughter's pushing. Stop trying to claim virtue points here, Donna. What does she need you for? She didn't need you. I need to get into your head for a second, Donna. Guys, help me out on this. I said there's a woman being pushed by, looked like her daughter in the wheelchair, right? She's being pushed across the road. Doesn't need help. No one's going, oh, if only Donna were here to help me across the road. What a sweet young lady you are, Donna. No, this is not a chance for you, Donna, to show how wonderful you are, which is what so many people like to do on the internet these days. Instead, it's just a story about an old person. I was the one who needed the help because I had to fucking wait for her while she took forever to get across the road. But I'm not as nice as you, Donna. You see, you're a sweetheart. You're just filled with joy and love and kindness, and you want everyone to know it. You would have helped that old lady across the street. Put that. Why don't you highlight that comment, put it on the screen, guys, just so Donna can feel like she's a good person this morning. And let's all look at it and let's all clap. Can you put it up quickly for her? so important these days that people get attention for being good people. So, there it is. Donna. Especially for you. This clap, guys. Clap, please. Thank you. Sure. All right. Fuck that, Gareth. When I fall, I just lie there for a while, assessing the damage, slippery pickle. It takes longer the older you get. I think that kid is awesome because he doesn't sit and moan about it. About to get my baby boy at 9 a.m. Much to look forward to. Is this your first, Nico? This is your baby that's being born. I assume you're not going to go and pick him up at some store where you can buy baby boys. Orphanage? Can you get an orphanage? They'll give you the big, you know what, like, here's the special Friday special. Boys, this Friday for 500 Rand. Next week, girls. How do they work at the orphanage? I don't know. Anyway, Donna now saying that it's the lady in the walker. No, Donna, don't try and what would you have done for her? What would you do? Hold her hand? She needs to hold onto the walker. How do you help? Explain to me how you help. Do you pick her up? Pick her up like Superman? Mary and the Pieta? What are you going to do? I don't know what shape you're in, Donna, but I don't know if you'd be able to carry either of these people. Certainly not with the wheelchair. Shani says, you love history, but you don't appreciate old people, Gareth. Yeah, because old people are not the same as history. That's why so many people hate history. Because it smells like old people. Or in their heads, it's always old people telling them about stuff. Two different things. There are a lot of old people that have nothing valuable to add. I do believe in wisdom as you get older. And I have met some tremendous old people. One of my dearest friends is 91 years old next week. And I think that's remarkable. And she's not by any means one of those old people who I find irritating, but these two who were using the walker and the wheel, maybe it's because they took so long. I don't know. But those kind of old people, trust me, you're not going to hear anything interesting from either of them. They're going to talk about,
oh, I've got such a sore leg, you know, and I slipped in the bath the other day, and you know, I've been worried because when I cooked supper the other night, you know, it took a lot longer than it usually does. And have you seen that TV program where the people win the money?
What, are these people going to give you a 50-page dissertation on why World War II ended when it did? No, of course not. And some of them, like that lady from Little Britain, they just walk and they just wee as they walk. So they don't even know they're weeing. It's just a big puddle that goes behind them as they walk. Very disturbing. They like what?
They like appointment viewing.
Oh, yeah. No, old people still watch the TV. They watch the TV.
I've got to be in front of the TV at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday because my favorite program is on.
And then they sit there. Nico, very cool. It's his second baby to be born today. So congratulations. You see, now that deserves attention. Donna would put her on his back, on her back, Mapelo. Yeah. Okay. It's early, you spelling Nazi, says Slippery Pickle. No, I was just trying to read the words that you write down without misrepresenting you. But if you can't spell, then it's going to lead to embarrassment, Slippery Pickle. Donna's back. She says, I would do what I usually do. Get out and just offer a smile and an arm. I used to work with old people, lol. Again, let's take a moment to compliment Donna on what a great person she is. You know, I really think that we don't have nearly enough love for Donna this morning. So, Donna, first of all, you do what you usually do because you're just such a good person. You do this all the time. Your day is just filled with moments of random kindness. You're basically this close to sainthood, Donna. It's wonderful. I mean, how lucky are we to have you listening, because you're such a good person. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ just shines through you into our show. Look at us. How fortunate we are. And then she says, I'll get out and offer a smile and an arm. Yeah, because she needed a smile. You think I didn't smile at her when I eventually got past her 5 minutes after waiting there? I did. I smiled. I went, oh, look, it was a bit of a sarcastic smile, but I went, And then she smiled back, but it took her so long that I'd already driven past by the time she did it. So I don't think the smile would have helped at all. Didn't make her faster. You see, Donna, the problem with you is you're immediately seeing her, this old lady, as the good divine person who needs help. And you're seeing me as the bad guy because I'm complaining about them. But I was the one who, I was in pain, Donna, not them. Because I had to wait in my car for her to trundle across. Here's how slowly she walked across the road, right? You ready? How are you enjoying watching the show in slow motion, huh? Anyway. All right, so enough about Donna this morning. I think we've given her quite enough attention for being the saintly, godlike woman that she is. All right. With all this old people slamming, I have to keep the volume down here in the hospital, says Nico. No, they can't hear anyway. G's in a good mood. I am. I'm in a great mood this morning. Sam and Sophie, both of them, because it's one account. Sam and Sophie say, give it a rest, Donna. This isn't your moment to shine, babes. You know, it's funny. Like, there are, and again, we can move on from Donna, but the real problem is that there are thousands and thousands, if not millions of people who online are genuinely just looking for other people to tell them what a good person they are. This happens in politics. It happens in society. It happens in culture. It happens in media, where you get people who they just really want you to think that they're a moral, ethical, decent, solid, well-mannered, kind person. And that is the number one thing, because they're obviously raised by people who said to them, the most important thing is to be nice. And I'm over it. Like, that's not what the internet's for. It's not there for you to fish for niceness, you know? Virtue signal about how good you are. You'll need Donna to look after Leanne. She's basically an old person. In 2 years, she'll be in a wheelchair. Yes, Slippery Pickle, that's not wrong. We are trying to keep her young, though. Gavin says, gee, why are you so grumpy on your first day of work? But I agree, old farts should be out of sight. No, I just realized, like, It's part of what we have to do, right? We have to put up with these old people. Good morning, happy Friday, everyone. It's officially spring and we're not going back. Now, Judas is spot on there. What amazing, amazing, amazing weather we've had this weekend. I don't want to talk about the weather for too long because it is boring, but shit, it's nice. And I don't think we're even having spring. We're going straight into summer. That's what it feels like. And Ass is wearing green. Hello, Ass.
Yes, this is my spring dress.
By the way, I wasn't ignoring Leanne for the first 15 minutes of the show.
Oh, I was getting worried there.
No, you only woke up just now. Anyway, nice to have you here. How are you?
Good, and you?
See, I can be nice to old people.
Yeah. I am your senior by 3 months. Mm-hmm. So you can call me old.
What do I have to look forward to?
In 3 months' time. Goodness me. Everything's going to hurt terribly.
All right. So listen, we've got a lot to do. Ass, I wanted to tell you a couple of things. So first of all, I have a lot of photos of me that I don't like. You know, photos that have been taken by other people, where I'm around. I try to avoid being in photos. I've never liked photographs. I hate confronting the way I actually look because I don't like it. But then occasionally I see a really bad photo of me that's hilariously funny and I can't wait to share it. So I sent this to James to put up on the screen because it is my, you know, when you used to be able to set your phone up with a profile so that when someone phoned you, it showed their face. You could still do it.
Yeah.
Right. So this is on my friend Greg's phone and I had dinner with him and his wife on Tuesday. And this is the picture that comes up whenever I phone him. Have you got that picture of me? This is great. Are you ready? Okay, show everybody. Let's go. Because there are people taking pictures of you everywhere. You can't do anything about it.
Can't avoid it anymore.
Right, so when you're putting food in your mouth, there we go. Isn't that beautiful?
My God, is that real? Mm-hmm. That's from ages ago.
Yeah, it's probably about 2017, 18, somewhere around there.
You look like one of my uncles.
Oh, that's great. Does he always look like that? Because I'm pulling a face, just by the way.
Yeah, no, I think he looks like that most of the time.
Not great. All right, that's enough. You don't have to keep it up there for half an hour. And that is a lie. That is not a true picture.
Are you eating a pork pie?
No, so that's made up. It's AI.
Wow, Gareth. Pork pies, huh?
Yeah.
You've always ripped off the people who eat pork pies.
Well, because I don't. That's not me. That's fake. It's fake.
I knew it all along.
But you like that picture of me from before?
You know, you said, you know, sometimes there are pictures you don't like.
Yeah.
There is never a picture that I like of myself. Only in the past when I didn't like that picture at the time.
And now you like it.
Yes, now I like it. Oh, gosh, we'll never learn. Never be satisfied.
I just think because people are taking pictures all the time, there's nothing you can do about it. Someone is going to get a picture of you that's unflattering, that makes you look fat, that you look like you're pulling a stupid face.
Yeah.
You just got to embrace it all, right?
No, exactly.
Gareth, we're hitting the 50s in 2 years, Vyasan. Yes, we are. I think about that only when I absolutely have to. But I do have three interesting things to talk to you about this morning about longevity.
Oh, yes.
So if anyone's thinking of living for a long time, and maybe you want to live for a long time, who doesn't? I mean, unless you are, you know, you've had enough. Like, there are probably more reasons to be alive than not. And I think all three of these are fascinating. Two of them just came out this week. The one I think we've spoken about to some degree, a longitudinal Harvard study that was conducted over, I think it's 90 or 100 years. So they've been doing it since the 1940s. And they've surveyed 10,000 people and followed their every habit. I mean, not every single day-to-day thing, but they've followed their diets, their exercise regimens, what kind of things they do for fun, the kinds of social interactions they have. And they put together this study with the sole purpose of trying to discern what it is that makes certain people live longer than others. And obviously, most people will tell you genes have something to do with it, and that's probably true. We can get to that in the second point I'll make. But this first point is that in this 10,000 people longitudinal survey that was done by Harvard, they discovered that the single biggest indicator of longevity and living not just a long life but a happy life is meaningful social connections. The more meaningful, real connections you have, the longer you will live.
Yes.
Obviously, you know, being around other people who you really want to be around, laughing with them, that's a big part of long life.
Yeah, I've seen studies. I mean, it may have been the same study that I've seen to that effect. And I do remember my grandfather, who died at the age of 103, not my genes, but anyway.
Sure.
He was part of a study of
really?
People all around the world, yeah. He was visited by scientists from some other country to ask about his habits, and it's so strange. He never smoked.
Really?
But he did have the odd scotch, and he danced, you know, like not professionally. He was a mining engineer, but, you know, socially, and that was his only form of exercise.
Really? Didn't do anything else?
Nothing else.
Well,
lived until 103, mind intact.
They looked at these people, and obviously the ones who – health has something to do with it. Activity has something to do with it. Exercise, diet, all of these things matter. But the biggest factor was that you have to have those meaningful social connections. So this week there are two other things that have been published. One which is getting quite a lot of attention online, the other one which I think has just come out yesterday. So the first one is, and I'm very thrilled to hear about this, is that apparently if you take someone's calf measurement around the widest part of their calf muscle, the bigger that is, the likelier they are to live forever. Well, forever. Not forever, but for long.
And you've got big calves.
Yeah, that's why I'm thrilled.
Why you're telling us about this study.
Yeah, of course, because it makes me look good. No, it's...
But you do get different types of
calves. No. So what they say
you get like hefty.
Yeah, yeah, you do. And those people probably will last a long time.
No, but like not muscle, just
fat.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what they're doing is they're saying if you are a not morbidly obese person, then if you take that measurement, because it's just a muscle, there's one bone in the middle, it's a large muscle.
Well, two, actually.
You get, well, you know what I mean. You get a good idea, indication that that person will live a long time, because there's a lot of stuff to do with the kinds of chemicals that are released when you're exercising. Muscles that big seem to contain a whole lot less water. I don't know what the exact details of this one are. It only came out yesterday, so I thought I'd share it with you now. And the other one is, you'll love this one too, Leanne. Yeah. This one will definitely make you and me and everybody else in this audience feel good, because they're all foul-mouthed, is that people who swear a lot live longer.
You see, because they just don't care. And they've got good attitudes about life.
Maybe.
Or maybe they're really angry.
No, I've very seldom found that people who swear are actually angry. I mean, there's a difference between a, oh, fuck you, in the traffic.
Yeah.
And like, a, fuck, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, really,
Harvard is a scam, says Goon. Have we learned nothing? Being around people you like means you need to be likable too, says Tracy. Yeah, that's kind of part of it. Basically, Leanne is saying, down in the mines for a long life, says Signet.
He was certainly above the mines. It's strange, because his predecessor, my biological grandfather, was an underground gold miner.
Really?
And he was one of the top mining engineers. He designed the mines that are underneath Gold Reef City.
So basically, that honeycomb that's under Johannesburg, that's partly his fault.
Partly his fault. It's his doing.
So if we have an earthquake and a third of Johannesburg just disappears into the ground, that's your grandfather.
Yeah, no, I think I would sooner blame the Zama Zamas for that.
But he was the equipment
the sort he had. Of mining engineer who would, if there was a problem down in the mines, he would go down into the mines and sort it out himself.
Right. Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I want to, it's not what I planned to discuss this morning.
That's okay. We don't have a script.
But I thought, and I was thinking on the way here, do I go ahead with this or not?
Go on.
So it's probably going to challenge your opinions.
Bring it in. I'm happy.
And it's something that you've always been very aware of and spoken of, even this morning, being obese.
Yeah, what's happened?
Fat people, etc.
Did you hit one on the way in?
It's dead.
did you knock one of these heifers off the road when you were driving here because you couldn't see them? They just took up too little space.
I went for a complete overhaul to the doctors.
What does that mean?
It means that you go to the doctors for a complete overhaul.
Do they put a tube in the front, tube in the back, and just like press a machine?
No, so I did a lot of blood tests leading up to this,
Answered
a lot of questions, and had a two-hour consultation with
Good
a specialist
Lord.
Physician.
Did you feel special?
Actually, yes. You know, it's nice to speak about your own ailments for 2 hours.
Okay, and so where's the challenging part?
A specialist doctor say you are a bit of a Chinese puzzle.
Yeah, well, you are. And that's just mentally. We're not even getting into physically.
So I don't speak about it much, but I've always been hypoglycemic. Low blood sugar. My body produces too much insulin.
Oh.
So it's the opposite of the classic diabetic that you would think of, who needs to inject insulin. That is type A diabetes.
Okay.
All right. So producing all of this insulin, eventually getting to the point, as predicted, of being insulin resistant because of just being flooded with insulin.
Right.
And then from there, what happens is you become diabetic.
Oof.
A type B diabetes.
So have you got diabetes?
Yes. So I'm on the cusp at the point where it needs to be treated as diabetes.
What are they going to give you? Ozempic?
Yes.
Okay. Great.
So
apparently it works wonders.
I haven't started it yet, but I just thought it might be interesting to monitor.
I just love the fact that you're saying this right at the start. Most people will try to hide that they're on Ozempic because they want the credit.
This is the debate, internal debate.
You remember what I said last week? Is how I hate the Ozempic and I think everyone should have to exercise and do the hard work.
Exactly. So I thought this might be a bit of a challenge to you.
No. I think it's great that you're doing this. I really do.
Well, it's
I
not
think
that
it's amazing.
I'm doing it.
I know so
it's
many
that
people.
I need the medication.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know so many people who, from a health point of view, it's not because of vanity. It's not because they want to look a certain way. It's because they genuinely have either a diabetic condition or because they're suffering from some other ailment as a result of not being able to control the weight, which is a real problem that many people face on a day-to-day basis. We've always been very critical of fat people on this show, but the biggest killer in South Africa is heart disease, right? It's worse than TB, worse than HIV, all of those things.
Well, it's visceral fat, isn't it?
Which correct.
Means it's surrounding your organs.
Correct.
That is a high indication that your body is not functioning correctly when it comes to hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's about time that perhaps you admit that sometimes being overweight is a disease.
Mm, you go too far.
And it's not about
eating. No, you can't have everything you want.
Pork pies, because
no,
I'll tell you now, calorie for calorie, I eat probably about a third of what you eat.
When we're looking.
No, that's unfair, because I actually have to be reminded to eat. Sometimes no, it'll be 2 days and I haven't eaten.
Okay, fair enough. But maybe you haven't got bigger in the last 3 or 4 years.
No, because I've been extremely stressed.
So in other words,
perhaps not eating.
The weight you picked up, you just haven't ever lost. But you haven't gained more along the way.
In fact, I've lost weight.
Yeah, I think you probably look about the same, if not better, than about 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm.
So that's just...
I've lost about 10 kilograms.
It's not as if you're, noshing down on cakes on weekends and adding...
I don't even like cake. I will have a chocolate once a month.
Don't attack cakes now. You don't
In fact, I lie. I had hectic chocolate cake yesterday, which we call coma cake, because it literally puts you in a coma.
So what if this Ozempic makes you svelte and thin and gorgeous, and you start wearing bikinis and,
Gareth, going out in my 50s.
Maybe. I mean, I could see that happening. Yeah, I could see you being a...
What I see happening...
Tarting it up and...
Is loose
Friday
skin
night.
That would have to be surgically removed if we have to...
Oh, nonsense.
Be realistic.
Knowing you, you'd snap back into it.
Oh, snap back. You're saying a 50-year-old is going to snap back.
Guys, don't you reckon Leanne...
Oh, God.
Leanne,
what have I actually unleashed?
Yeah, so now we're going to need the people to keep an eye out socially for Leanne. She's going to be out there on the prowl wearing tight clothes, looking like her 18-year-old self again. Watch, it's going to happen. Suddenly the Ozempic's going to...
Obviously didn't think about this hard enough. Clearly.
No, it just didn't go the way that you thought it would. Leanne is probably allergic to her own snot, says Mo Rabbit. How revolting.
How revolting.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? Have some respect. Leanne, what medical aid are you on? Says Rebellious Ruth. I don't know how that's any of your business, Ruth. Come on, Leanne. Jeffrey Dahmer sometimes went months without eating, and his weight was always stable, says Slippery Pickle. Bitcoin But says, create a poll.
Yeah, because he didn't have diabetes.
Yeah, no, he didn't. Create a poll. Will ass tart up again? That's a good that's a good poll for this morning. Will Leanne tart up again? A, yes, I expect to see her out with the 18-year-olds. B, no, she's going to stay at home with the cats.
Why can't I be tarted up and stay home with the cats? That's the most likely.
What's the point?
So put option C, both.
No, but why would you tart up and stay at home?
Because, Gareth, I don't feel like tarting up for other people.
Come on. You used to tart up all the time for the show.
In fact, I've never been a tarter upper.
No, but
I've never been like one of those Instagram girls.
In my imagination, I like to think that you stand there in front of the mirror tarting up for hours.
I certainly wear more makeup now than I did then. That's for sure. I was always like a natural girl.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Leanne will have new hips and a new body at 50. She's on her way.
Exactly.
Telling you, Pumlani's right. Okay. So, let's quickly talk about this. What do you think Gen Alphas want to be when they grow up? We're always talking about the generation stuff.
How old
on
are
the
Gen
show.
Alphas now?
Gen Alphas would be people.
They're in their.
Who are just.
Becoming
entering,
teens.
They're just entering their late teens into early 20s.
Born from roughly 2010.
Yeah, born from 2010. There we
15.
Go. 15. Okay, so 15 and up, up to Gen Z.
No, 15 and down.
Oh. Oh, yes, of course.
From age 0 to 15.
All right, so yeah.
Okay, so if we had to ask a 15-year-old today what they want to be, an influencer.
Put up the graphic. Let's show Leanne the honest and horrible truth here. What do you think, Jen? Oh, see, YouTuber.
Yeah.
YouTuber's number one. TikTok creator's number two. Let me just remind.
Oh, Lord, this is depressing.
32% of these Gen Alphas that they surveyed, and I don't know how big the sample size was, but that's just so frightening, okay? Then after that, after those two, which together add up to almost 50%, all right? So to be a video maker, essentially. Mm-hmm. The third highest category at 20% was doctor or nurse. Now, that's commendable.
It's quite a jump. It kind of juts out there, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does. And then we've got a video game developer at 19%. Entrepreneur comes in at 17, although I think
and
if
what
you,
does that mean?
Well, that's it. If you asked most of the Gen Alphas what an entrepreneur is, they wouldn't know.
No, they won't know.
They
you don't become an entrepreneur.
No. Usually
you
you're forced
something
to.
In your life and by way of doing something new and unique and different and groundbreaking, you are recognized as an entrepreneur.
Right.
The same as an influencer. You don't become an influencer. You do something in your life that makes you famous,
interesting. Sure.
And then you are regarded as an influencer. Oh, jeez.
Okay, don't get depressed. Then we've got artist. Again, commendable. Sports athlete, which is great. Online, what is that?
Streamer.
But that should just be part of like YouTube and TikTok, really. Then musician and then teacher. All right, so the only real careers there are teacher, artist, although that's also debatable because you know.
Sports athlete is, again, you don't just say, I want to be
I want to be a Formula One
you
driver.
You are recognized as a sports athlete because you've achieved.
Yeah, and because you've got, and you got natural talent for it, right? Doesn't just happen. Anyway, I do feel very, very sorry for people because this is kind of why even the next generation, Gen Z, why they feel like work is a punishment because they can't get to do the jobs that they want to do. And I don't think their jobs would be very dissimilar to the jobs that we saw from Gen Alpha. They probably also want to be like YouTube influencers.
Well, of course, there's a massive overlap.
Yeah, so... I think this is why people feel like work is a punishment.
It's horribly concerning.
And you do meet people, and again, I don't think it's necessarily generational, although I've spoken to people across various age groups, and they seem to have an inclination towards the fact that younger people are less likely to consider work an important meaningful part of their lives. They kind of think of it as a punishment 100%. To earn money, right?
You know, I really don't want to be one of those older people who says, in my day, but it's happening more and more.
Too late. Just go.
I had I overheard the Gen Zs in my office talking about how they don't take Uber alone. Girls,
yeah.
I can understand that to a certain point of view, a certain point. I don't go to the shops alone. I'll only go to the shops with a friend or a boyfriend.
Really?
And that reminded me of when I gained freedom and independence, being able to drive.
You couldn't wait to drive all over.
To go to a mall just by yourself and shop. How amazing was that? To go and drive somewhere new and experience
But let's
it.
Not blame them.
No, it's also the times, I understand.
No, but it's also the parents. I mean, I don't think it's the times. I think we live in a safer time now than it was when we were kids.
But I remember at the age of 21 being an SABC reporter.
Yeah.
I was in the middle of Braamfontein during a taxi strike.
Right.
Reporting on that with a television with a cameraman. And at one point I needed to be pulled into an armored vehicle for my safety.
Yeah, those people you heard in your office would be, they'd have a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to be resilient and maybe there's less of that going on. But I think it's also the parents. The parents have told them, you know, the news tells them that the world is the scary, unpredictable place where everything happens and you can do nothing about it. And, you know, every day could be your last and the world's going to die and climate change and all this shit's going on. Ukraine, Russia, Gaza, and these young people are being told that things are terrible and they're not. It's not that scary out there. It really isn't. And the chances of something truly awful happening to you are about the same as your chances of winning the lottery, which are very, very small.
Struck by lightning.
Yeah, it's very small. So you got to get out there. And let me tell you, there is some... I'm not Dr. Hanan. We'll talk to him in a moment or two. But there's a lot of reward in taking a chance and exploring and being curious. There is no reward in being safe. There is no reward for people staying secure behind their burglar bars and their gates and their locked doors. There's nothing there. The world is just the most amazing place. And of course, these people hypocritically will tell you that they desperately want to travel because they somehow see the rest of the world as safer. Because they've been told that wherever you are is probably the most dangerous. I mean, American kids are growing up thinking America is dangerous. People in Europe are being told that it's dangerous to go out. In some places it is. And in South Africa, we've been told for how long that, you can't walk the streets. Well, I think you can. I mean, I saw people this morning at 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
running on the streets in my neighborhood. I don't live in a gated community. I mean, I'm talking about the suburb outside.
Mm.
People walking around, running. There are lots of people doing this at 5 in the morning on a Friday. I mean, God bless you if you're able to do that.
That's another story.
I would never do that, but not because of safety. Just because I think that you've got to get out there. That things that are worth getting in life are not the things that are easy and convenient.
I mean, I remember flying to London by myself.
Yeah.
And traveling and exploring by myself.
Yeah.
Going to, you know, catching a train to Belgium by myself. So it's very, very difficult for me to understand.
So did you interfere or did you just let them talk?
No, I did tell them about the journalist thing. And they were like, brah. But that's like you. You know,
the old dinosaur.
Yeah.
All right.
We're not like that now.
Here it is. Listen to this. Tracy says, years ago, while at a birth, my mom is in labor. Sorry, the mother, because Tracy's a doctor. I small talked with the dad, asked him what he did, and answer was entrepreneur. Months later, I saw in the news that he was bust for smuggling Parlamoon. Bitcoin Butt says, Gareth, they see work as a punishment. I think he's talking about Gen Zs here. Because the Gen Alphas aren't at work yet. Because you need to work much harder to achieve the dream, a nice car, a nice house, luxury expenses. This comes from broken money. I think that's got a lot to do with the world of marketing and advertising. I think it's got a lot to do with social pressures. Again, I said earlier this morning before you came in, there are a lot of people who are living a fake life. They're lying about their job. They're lying about their house. They're lying about their money. They're lying about their lifestyle. They're trying to impress people.
People who actually, you can hire bottles of Moët.
Yeah.
Just leave them unopened.
Right. They're putting on a show. Yeah. They're putting on a show. They're trying to impress strangers. And this is where Bitcoin Butt's right. He's hit the nail on the head. It is very, very difficult for people to accept that they might be ordinary, they might be poor, they might be unable to make the choices that they see in Instagram reels. And you can only be happy once you get to a point. I don't know if any of us get there early, late, whether it's an aha moment, whether it's reaching rock bottom, whether it's being scammed. I'm not sure when it happens, but we need to get to a point where we stop worrying about what people we don't know think of us. Mm. And this kind of connects to everything we've spoken about this morning, from me like having a go at Donna, wink, wink, and talking about weight and talking about old people and all of this comes down to, like, why would you care what a person who doesn't know you thinks of you? They're not going to add any value to your life.
No.
So we've got to stop this. Just let's use the internet for the amazing things it can do. In fact, the stuff it can connect us to, and just less of this needy, please look at me thing. I've got a video to show you on that just now. Remind me.
There was quite a cute interaction. Again, I'm going to refer to the Gen Zs I work with, where one pitched up with a silk hair bonnet because she had an event later.
A bonnet.
And had an event later, and she had curlers underneath. And then had to go to the shop with another Gen Z. And she said at one point, "Do you think people are looking at me?" And the other said, "Yes, I do. But they'll look at you once and then forget about it."
Mm.
And it's so true. That was like such a good lesson for me.
Yeah.
Yes, people are looking at you. Don't deny it. Don't lie and say, "No, man, you look
normal. Yeah, you've got this fucking bonnet on."
People will look at you, but they're not going to remember you when they're driving home in their car. They'll be over it.
Gareth, what happened to Dr. Mark? Yeah, shame. I heard that's such a South African thing to say, shame. Mm. I got a message on Sunday on my way back from Cape Town that Dr. Mark had died. Remember Dr. Mark who did the tea health show on Cliff Central with us for years? A really, really positive, optimistic, lovely guy. Used to come in once a week. We'd talk to him about balls and penises and titties and facelifts and Botox and all kinds of exciting things. And I heard on Sunday that he died. I don't know any details. Apparently there's a service for him. I think it's next week or something. But if I find out, I'll be sure to share it with you. Nobody's told me anything. I'm always the last to know, but there we go. Very, very sad that Dr. Mark's no longer around. I think he added enormous value to the world. So, yeah. Patrick says, I stopped giving a stuff what strangers think of me. In fact, anyone, like over 10 years ago, if they don't like me, it's not my issue. Patrick, then you're in the happy zone. That's all I can tell you. Like, life just is better.
Yeah.
Bitcoin, but again, back with, when I say broken money, okay, to explain what he means. I'm speaking about the money that can be printed and given out to the cronies before it arrives at the people. The wealth is held captive by the rulers. Well, you are Bitcoin, but we knew there'd have to be something about crypto in there, right? So I think that's what you mean. It's like fiat currency. I got you. This is a shame. I enjoyed him on the show, says Vyasan. Yeah, he was good, Dr. Mark. He was very good. Stevie says, "Hey, Leanne, absolutely. The advice I give my kids growing up, people don't give a damn. They judge you at first glance, and then you're forgotten about. Don't worry about strangers." So Stevie, spot on there again. Mm. Okay, we had a taxi-free day on KZN roads yesterday. What a pleasure, says Durban Dope. Yeah.
Oh.
Apparently there was a big taxi strike on in KZN. I saw.
I think there's one today in Gauteng.
Oh, well, that's going to be a lovely day then.
And
not for the people who have to catch the taxis, but for everyone else on the road.
That's actually what sparked the conversation was, because we, as a team, need to drive somewhere different than to the office today.
Okay.
And the concern was, where are the taxi strikes and will that be affected? So that is something like dangerous to consider.
No, that's being aware. Like, you can't be unaware of your circumstances. No, of course. So There's a lot of information around these days. You just have to be judicious about how much time and effort you put into information that can do you no good. It's not, if you are not in Durban, for example, last Friday or yesterday when they had their strike, then it doesn't matter to you that there's a strike in Durban. It's interesting info, and we can have a conversation about it. And obviously the people in Durban had something to deal with there. But in Joburg, no. It's like, you know, I see people watching the news and they're finding out all about like Bangladesh and something's going on there. And I go, well, why are you getting hyped up about Afghanistan? It's not important. Doesn't affect you. I used to be like that. I used to get upset about international news. I used to get upset when something happened in a country that I haven't ever been to. And then I realized this is just unnecessary and stupid.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there are big things that affect us, like U.S. tariffs.
Yeah, of course.
That we need to consider.
Have we got Dr. Hanan? Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Let's go to him. Oh, before you go to Dr. Hanan, I want him to watch that video of that woman talking about me, me, me. Have you got that? Yeah, just play that for him because I want to know what Dr. Hanan thinks of this. Take a look at this. Yeah.
No, man, not her. No, James, not her.
Not her?
No, the lady, the woman who's talking about social movements and how they've...
Oh, well, this says movements.
Yeah, that's the one. Yes.
Two biggest movements that deconstructed society were feminism and the Me Movement. The Me Movement of the 60s was basically a movement that said, I matter more than anybody else. Now, bad therapy, by the way, can promote that. So that's what I mean by there's good therapy and bad therapy. Bad therapy is what you want and you need and nobody else matters but you, 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 you. Me, 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 right? That's bad therapy. That Me Movement told to people that individualism, that freedom to be you, freedom to be me was the most important thing. And that responsibility for relationships, for family, they no longer mattered. Because what mattered was you, no one else.
All right, so let's go to Dr. Hanan. What did you think of that, by the way? You think she makes sense?
So what do I think about it, the Me Movement? So I think it is a problem. I think we've become very self-indulgent, and this movement towards self-reflection and internalizing everything, and it's all about me and what I need and what I want, has made us worse. It hasn't made us better. It's turned us inwards instead of turn us outwards. We are creative human beings. And we want to go out there and make magic as opposed to turn inside and sit in bed, cover our heads with a duvet and wish and hope for the best. It doesn't work that way. I think for mental health, you want to go out and create as opposed to turn inwards and stand still.
So, Doc, what about this thing that Leanne and I, and we can only briefly touch on this. I know we've got some other stuff to talk to you about this morning, but this idea of so many people being afraid of life, like not taking the chance to have an adventure, not going out and exploring, being curious about the world, rather choosing safety, choosing familiarity and predictability. I mean, I know humans have got this inbuilt thing where the more unpredictable something is, the less likely we are to feel good about it. Surely that exploration is part of our nature, that desire to get out and see the world, do things that are maybe a little bit risky, but perhaps have an enormous payoff at the end of it because you get to learn something new, go somewhere new, have some fun, try something for the first time. Isn't that stuff so electric that it compels us to just break the safety rule?
I think it's more than just electric. I think it's necessary. Nobody ever feels by the time they end up on their deathbed, looking back at their lives, that they should have stayed more in their comfort zone. Everybody feels that I should have adventured more. I should have loved more. I should have danced more. I should have experience life outside of my comfort zone more. The brain has got one important function, and it really cares about one thing, which is the conservation of metabolic energy. It wants to conserve energy. That's why doing things out of your comfort zone is so scary for us, because the brain doesn't want you to venture out, because there are lions and tigers out there. And it takes incredible amount of metabolic energy to step out of comfort zone and learn something new. To stay within your comfort zone is very safe because you're on autopilot and it requires zero energy. Think about driving your car. If I ask you to drive from point A to point B, you will literally use almost zero energy. But imagine I just swap the brakes and the accelerator around, just turn them around. So the one on the right, the other one on the left, I just swap them around. How difficult would it be to get from point A to point B? Your brain doesn't adjust to things very quickly. It uses a ton of energy to learn a new framework. So when it's a question between staying in your comfort zone or venturing out, your brain will rebel and resist and convince you and justify why you should stay in your comfort zone, even though your comfort zone might be worse off or might be worse for you than stepping out. But that's not where the adventure and life and meaning of life begins. Not in your comfort zone. It starts right at the edge of your comfort zone when you step out. I want you to consider this exercise that I use in my life quite a lot, and I think you might find it useful too. Imagine your favorite people watching a movie of your life. So they're sitting in a cinema and they're watching you from the moment you were born up until this point. Once we get to this point, what would they be saying? Would they be saying to you, oh my God, don't do this? Oh my God, I hope he does that. What would they be cheering you on to do? Would they be saying to you, no, stay safe. Don't venture out. Don't step out of your comfort zone. Continue doing what you were doing. Or would they say, risk it, boy. Oh, go out there. You will learn. You know, in life, I really believe there are no failures. You either win or you learn. And life is long. Give yourself the opportunity to make mistakes, learn lessons, step out, and level up. Use that information to make yourself better. But we don't learn anything new in our comfort zone. That's why go out and venture. You can't get it wrong. You know, and people, just one more thing. People will say, but Hanan, what if my decision is really consequential, a life and death? In reality, that only happens in action movies, the blue or the red wire. In real life, your life is going to give you 1,000 chances to get it wrong before it's really consequential. So go out, make mistakes, learn, level up. Make mistakes, learn, level up. That is how we get better. Don't sit in your comfort zone. It's not meaningful. It's just safe.
Wow. All right. I love that analogy of the people watching the movie of your life. You got to think about that, because it does kind of make you feel responsible for keeping the movie interesting as well, right?
Exactly. 100%.
Can't make people watch a boring movie. All right, so Leanne's got a list of new, she'll explain this to you, but they're apparently never before seen kinds of mental disorder. And we want to just let you have a look at these for the first time. What do we got, Leanne?
Talk about throwing something at you while you're not prepared. I actually thought about sending you this article, Dr. Hanan, but mental health professionals are apparently calling it AI psychosis. And that's, we've spoken about it a lot. That's people turning to AI models for mental advice, medical advice.
Love.
However, it has led to, for instance, a man who was repeatedly hospitalized after ChatGPT convinced him he could bend time. Another believed that he'd discovered breakthroughs in physics.
Yeah.
And there was a tragic situation recently where ChatGPT had assisted in the suicide of a 16-year-old boy.
Sure.
But this AI psychosis is being spoken about in a recent interview. A clinical psychologist, Derek Hull, who is helping to build a therapy chatbot, said that the reported cases seem more akin to what would be called AI delusions than psychosis. He says psychosis is a larger term.
Yeah.
But yes, there are these people who, he spoke about a man who believed he'd pioneered a new field of temporal mathematics. that these people aren't just, they have these grand delusions.
Yeah, I suppose these are inevitable consequences of what we think is the amazing possibilities brought to you by AI. There are going to be some terrible consequences too, right? Again, risk and sometimes reward.
AI is so dangerous in the respect of it will reflect and mirror back to you exactly what you desire. So you can turn it into your own slave. And the worst thing you can do is create an echo chamber that justifies your own narrative, because your narrative could be wrong. You could be driving right over an abyss and AI will tell you that you'll survive and you'll be okay. Just keep on going straight, because it will justify your own position. Unfortunately, AI will be trained according to your own narrative. And again, it will just mimic exactly what you want it to. So unfortunately, when you want to be right to yourself more, and it's more important to you than getting it right, then you're going to kind of be swimming in your own echo chamber that again justifies your position. You want the people around you to calibrate you effectively. You want to create mirrors, real people in your world that actually mirror to you the real reality, the real world. Nothing beats reality more than reality. And AI is not reality. It will just mimic and justify your own position, which could be wrong. Your roadmap to engage the world could be wrong, and AI will just justify that for you.
Sure. You got to take the good with the bad. You can't just have one. I've got a picture of somebody. Have you got that picture of that girl with the haircut, the new haircut, James? I want you to tell me what this haircut tells you about someone's state of mental well-being, all right? If there's any connection. I mean, you might tell me, Gareth, you're stupid. There's no connection between a haircut and whether someone's crazy.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I can only imagine. Bring it.
Have you got the picture? Oh, boy. All right. Here it is.
Here it goes. Pink.
You've always said, Gareth, if a girl has colored hair, meaning out of the natural spectrum, so pink, blue, purple, that she's probably mad.
Yeah, definitely. No, if they have like electric blue hair, they're insane. I've never met anyone who's totally contented, comfortable in their own skin, settled, happy, composed, confident. Never found anyone like that who has like a very, very artificial color of hair. And of course, I might be proven wrong by the one exception to the rule, but I think it's a good rule. This is the haircut that I'm talking about, Dr. Hanan. There we go.
It's all in the fringe.
Yeah. What's up with that? So, what is that? Prince Valiant? He-Man? The evil guy from what's that show called?
I am triggered. I'm hashtag triggered that He-Man has been decimated like that.
No country for old men. Remember that?
Okay, it's because her hair is shaped like a triangle, right?
This person?
That's Greta Thunberg, obviously. All right, so Doc, there's no specific haircut that indicates like this person's poisonous, stay away. Like there are certain like frogs in the jungle have bright colors because they're poisonous. You can't give us any tips on hairstyles that must be avoided. No?
Have you seen the movie? It reminds me. Have you seen the movie Shrek? You know the king from the movie Shrek.
Yeah. What's his name? Farquaad.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 It's like
that's the one. That's the
like
one.
A French page boy kind of haircut. Yeah. All right, you can take that away now, James. Jesus.
Jeez,
how
James.
Long do we have to look at fucking Greta?
Wow. James.
Bad enough, and
burning
my
retinas.
So okay, no haircut particularly indicates anything, right?
Not really.
Oh, damn it. I thought we were on to
something. There is something about fringe length. The shorter the fringe, the more artsy the person thinks they are.
Okay.
I was actually at an event with artsy people. And I pointed it out to my brother. We looked around the room and there were fringes that were far too short.
Like this.
Mm.
But that's the whole Devil Wears Prada.
You know, like Yolanda.
Yeah, I always think if a woman's cut a fringe, she's had a tough month. Something's quite not there.
Yeah.
I mean, you, Leanne, you have a respectable female hairstyle.
You mean if somebody
back,
has
feminine,
suddenly has a fringe.
Just cuts a fringe and they're like,
especially if it goes.
Yeah.
You know, it's very like.
Square.
Very Teutonic.
Look, I'm no expert of women, but I just I don't think it's like plan A. It's like you were fucking around. You've had a shitty week.
No.
I don't know, your boyfriend's on your tits or something. It's not normal. And it's regretted within like 2 days, one day.
Oh, man. All right, I've got a game for us this morning. You want to play a game?
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know, but okay. No.
All right, cheers, Dr. Hanan. Did we say goodbye to him or did he just go? Okay, yeah, he's got things to do.
James just deleted him.
Oh, I love the way that James shows us that he's gone as well.
Yeah, nice black screen there.
It's like James also likes it. There we go. Yeah, that's very attractive. Which one is more mentally ill? That's great. It's a good picture of me, huh?
So what's the game?
Okay, here's the game. There are words in English that the old English aristocracy used to use to pronounce them a certain way to figure out who were their people. You know how people are always trying to figure out who's in the upper class, who's not. These days it has a lot to do with money, even though money has never been the thing that the English upper class has used to identify other English upper class people. So usually they'd all know each other's family tree like the back of their hand anyway, because they're all related.
To do with accents.
Yes, accents were a big part of that. That's why in England you get so many different accents. But there are a bunch of words that I'm going to ask you guys to see if you can pronounce them. If you pronounce them correctly, then you're obviously an aristocrat. Okay. If you don't, you're just a peasant. So they specifically made these words difficult to pronounce properly so they could figure out whether you were in or not.
Oh, yeah, boy. I feel like this is a trap.
No, it's not a trap. All right, are you ready? Let's play the game. All right, James, put up the first word. How do you pronounce this?
Can we just
this?
Shout it out?
How do you pronounce that?
Oh, I would say maybe...
That's C-H-O-L-M-O-N-D-E-L-E-Y.
I would go with Kolmondeley.
Kolmondeley for Ben and?
Kolmondeley?
No, Chumley.
Okay. Are we now peasants?
Peasants on the first round.
No, we
can't. Sorry. What does it mean?
Peasants on the first round.
Chumley. Right, my ass, that's Chumley.
It's a surname. Chumley. Okay, next one. Pronounce that one.
What's with this font?
Devereux.
Yeah, it's a terrible font, James. Jesus.
Devereux.
Devereux. Straight up Devereux.
All right. Devereux. Somewhere it's Devereux. Somewhere it's also Devereux.
No, I mean, if you're pronouncing the X, you are.
If somebody made, yeah.
That's like going Chateau Gatot.
All right. A lot of people say Devereux, and it's not frowned upon. So not bad, but if you said Devereux, not good. All right, try another one. How do you pronounce this word?
Clough.
Yes, correct. Clough.
Yeah, Clough.
Very good. Very, very
what
nice.
Is it?
It's Clough. That's right. Leanne and Ben, congratulations. 1 point on the table. And you got a point for Devereux. Okay, next one.
Belvoir.
Belvoir, Leanne?
Yeah, Belvoir, it's pretty simple.
Beaver.
No, fuck off.
No, it's beaver.
I have a beaver. I know how to spell it.
So there's a famous castle that belongs to the Duke of Rutland. It's called Beaver Castle, and it's spelled Belvoir. So the French would say, so let me explain why you pronounce it differently to the way that it's spelled. Because French obviously came to England in 1066 when William the Conqueror defeated Harold at the Battle of Hastings. And then he installed all of his French nobility all over England. But in order to kind of make friends with the old English who lived there, they helped them to pronounce it their way. So the words developed in the common English tongue over hundreds of years in a different way to the way that the French originally pronounced it. So a place
so
like,
in other words, wrong.
Yeah, wrong. But then what happened
thanks,
was
yeah, that's what I was going with
was,
it too.
Was entirely inversely, the nobility eventually cottoned on to the way that those people pronounced it and kept that pronunciation.
That was like that
like this.
Spanish king who had a lisp.
Yes,
and that's why everybody else
yes.
lisps in
yes.
Spain.
That's correct. I think it's in Catalonia only though.
I was in Barcelona. I've been to Barcelona a few times.
That's
it's there.
That's where they do it.
Yeah.
But they don't do that in Mexico.
Mm-mm.
Because by then they had learnt Spanish the old way and the king back in Spain didn't influence Mexico so much.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's interesting. This is linguistics. All right, do you want to try more or are you bored with this?
Yeah.
Can go for more.
All right, go on.
A couple more.
Broughton. Broughton. Don't tell me it's Broughton.
It's not Broughton. Broughton.
Beaver.
Ben?
You say Beaver.
Ben reckons it's Beaver. No.
Broughton.
It's actually Broughton.
Broughton. Broughton.
Yeah, because you've brought your beaver over. Yeah, now it's right. Broughton.
No, man, it's Broughton. All right.
Another one? That's a good one. Ruthven. R-U-T-H-V-E-N for anyone who's listening.
Yeah, I think I would also go with the Ruthven.
Or is it just Ruffin?
Or Ruthven. No, I'd go with Ruthven, like you said. Yeah.
You're getting close. It's Riven.
Riven.
No.
Yeah, but you see, you wouldn't know that unless you were, and the nanny won't teach you this. Back in the day, your parents would have to say to you, "Oh, this is Julia Riven. She lives down the road." And you'd go, "How do you spell your surname?" And she'd go,
"These people would be fucked at Home Affairs."
Totally. Oh, like anyone called Siobhan. I've always thought, like, you call your daughter Siobhan,
you hate the kid already
because she's gonna like go, "Oh, that's how you say Siobhan? S-I-O-B-H-A-N." Anyway,
Sioban.
And the Irish 90s. Are terrible. Try another one.
Weird 90s name that.
Ah.
Huh.
A-B-E-R-G-A-V-E-N-N-Y. Speak about the Irish and they come up.
This is a lot about where you put the emphasis on which syllable.
Right, right, go on.
Abergavenny.
No. No.
Abergavenny.
No. No, but I like the way you're thinking, Ben. You pronounce that
Abergavenny.
Leon, I reckon it's take out four letters and add two more.
You pronounce that Abergavenny.
Oh, it's an Irish thing.
Hmm. Yeah, it is. It's Irish, but
it's like that whiskey.
Yeah.
What's that whiskey called? Whiskey with an E because it's Irish.
Another one.
I think we learned two things today. This font doesn't work on the screen,
no.
And these people are all arseholes.
Yeah, they probably are assholes, but they did this on purpose.
Vulva sour.
Now you're just getting silly.
Vagina.
No, it's as it's
Vavasoir.
No, Vavasor.
Vavasor.
Well, Vavasor.
What is it? A surname again?
It's a surname.
Okay.
It's either a place name or a surname. One more. Go. Choose a complicated one. Oh, Barky. That's easy. No, you spelt that wrong anyway.
Didn't have an E before the L?
Yeah, there should be another E in there. How do you say that one? E-G-E-R-T-O-N.
Okay, Egerton, Egerton, Ayrton.
Yeah, I'll go with Ayrton.
Edgerton.
Edgerton.
Oh, it just sounds common.
No, Edgerton.
Yeah, exactly, as you said.
All right, and then there's one in Joburg that people always get wrong. Near Kailami, between sort of Midrand and Lone Hill, that sort of area. There's a lot of horses there. B-E-A-U-L-I-E-U.
Baloo.
You actually pronounce that. You're meant to pronounce it. Bewley.
Bewley.
Bewley. Well done, Ben. But people say Bailu. Oh, I live in Bailu. But it's actually Bewley.
Mm.
Okay, so that's enough of that for today, making people feel bad about the fact that they weren't taught how to speak properly. Yeah, all right, but there we are. That's quite enough fun for this morning. All right, Ben, you got some sport for us. Ass, you've got to go, don't you?
Yes, I'm off.
You're going to somewhere other than your office.
Yes, somewhere mysterious. I'm going to a spa.
Oh.
The one without the R at the end.
Ah.
For a briefing on skincare brands products for 2026.
Oh.
Very prestige, very luxurious.
Are you going to get treatments?
Very
hands-on briefing. Is that a very hands-on briefing?
Perhaps.
Very vavasoir. That's going to be your new word of the day.
Ghetto, vavasoir.
All right. Okay, well, while Ass is getting ready for her very exciting day at the spa, Ben and I are going to talk all about the sport. So let's get into that, Ben. What can you tell us about the weekend ahead of us?
Well, Gareth, first of all, I can tell you about this is the most incredible tracksuit that I've got on. It's the Arsenal.
What is it, Arsenal?
Arsenal.
Why is it incredible? I mean, you wore Arsenal stuff here.
It's an Arsenal NTS collaboration.
Didn't you wear Arsenal stuff here last week? You wore red.
Probably, maybe. Yeah, yeah, well, as I said, you know, tits, this is the season. Right. So we had a sports strip episode with Masma Ponyani this week on The Bounce.
I saw
it. We spoke about how, like, sporting fashion's coming in, what's the do's and the don'ts.
So you thought you'd impress us with your sporting fashion this morning?
Well, it's just been released worldwide, so there's a good chance you won't see any other human being dressed like this today.
Oh, so this is a bit of a flex, is it?
It's massive.
All right. Speaking of flex, I did go back onto the website to see if Orbitz had more of those shirts.
More stock.
But
still
no
not.
Luck, no luck, I'm afraid.
No, they were given the 100 by that spother shop that they made them near Sun City, and then that was it. Maybe next year I'll get some more.
The Tlakong General Dealer. Is that where they go?
Yeah, a bit of a tough time though, hey, because in the Intergalactic Derby last week, TS Galaxy beat Orbit College 3-1.
Oh, shit. Flex, it's not going well for your team, eh? All right. Okay, so let's go.
Yeah, look, bloody good weekend for the sport because rugby championship, okay?
Yeah.
So this is the one we've all been waiting for. It is our chance to play against the All Blacks in Eden Park. Now, there's three A's in there, just in case you want to know culturally.
Right.
I'm looking at words to pronounce. So we all know the big narrative here is that New Zealand just don't lose here. 1994, 3rd of July was the last time they lost.
Sure.
To the French.
That was before, no, South Africa still had apartheid.
We did.
Oh.
And no team has gone to that ground, put the boots on, run onto the pitch and left as winners. There's been two draws. The British and Irish Lions drew there with them and South Africa drew there with them, I think it was 95.
Hmm.
So pretty good record. What makes it even more monumental this weekend is that Ardie Surveyor.
Yeah,
he'll have.
I've got you questioning every word now.
Ardea Surveyor will be playing his 100th test on this amazing moment. So you can't get a bigger test match, really. Like, we were all so excited about the World Cup finals 2019, 2023. This is it.
Right.
I know World Cups are World Cups, but we've got two of those already in a row.
Wow.
This game, I think, is like, it's the next thing. It's so huge.
The stakes are high, and I see that Jesse Creel's captain again.
Yeah, James, we're just popping up that team sheet there. We've got a bit of a predicament, actually. So we've been ravaged by the injuries, hey? No, no disrespect to Marco van Staden or Rio Nokia.
Who's that insurance salesman on the right?
That's Andre Pollard. He's our best guy.
Okay.
So no disrespect to those guys, but, like, they probably wouldn't be our first choices, you know?
Okay.
Marco van Staden's good and all, but I don't think he's a first-choice flank at this level of the game. Sir Khaleesi's a little bit buggered as well.
Who are you worried about here, Ben?
I'm worried about a lot. I am normally very like, bocker, go for it, box by fucking whatever, they're going to win. This is the first team sheet that I've seen in a while where I'm a little bit tight around the old sphincter area. It's just that like this team hasn't really fired yet because we haven't got that dynamicness. Jan-Hendrik Wessels coming onto the bench, just start there. Massive thing that, okay? That's a game changer, massive dynamic player. Bojan Venter is not. He's just come into the team, you know, debuting against Georgia.
Is that his name? Bojan.
Just the other day. Wilco Lowe, great. Luta Yaga, I would like to start with him, know that I can get an honest 40, 45 out of him straight up. I don't think he's an impact player. Kwaka Smith, cool. He's got lots to show. Great player. Then Kubis Reinach, Sasha Feynman, Gomazula, Ethan Hooker. I like that for a bench. The game's going to be tight. We're going to kick a hell of a lot more. So those guys in the backs as replacements, very good. But like, Sir Khaleesi isn't fit right now. He's not at his best. He had a knee injury. He's still recovering. But Jean-Luc Dupria, this oak, he's either got like cursed by an ex-girlfriend or something's happened in his life. Because every time this guy comes close to playing for the box, he either gets concussed, ill, or injured in training.
A witch. It's probably a witch cast a spell.
So a witch has cast a spell over Jean-Luc Dupria. Sorry, James, can you just get that back up? Sorry, Flex, one more time. So now, Sir Khaleesi's had to come back. He's not a traditional number eight, but now he's at number eight. Marco van Staden's at six, and Peter Steptoe at seven. That's cool and all. But it's just, I worry that a guy is not fully fit and it's only going to have 40 minutes at best. But he is so inspirational. He is the guy that leads us generally. But now there's a hoo-ha from certain fuckheads around there who look at it and go, why is Jesse Creel captain if Sir Khaleesi's starting? Well, Sir Khaleesi's not going to play the whole game. This is a massive game. So, Jessie Creel has been given the captain's armband. Some people say the optics are wrong around that. I say, get stuffed. So, look, it is a good team. It is a Bok team. The Bok should win this because the All Blacks also have their injury problems. They can't get a scrum off that they want. It's a massive occasion for them too. Not everyone in that All Black team is going to be able to go, I've played Eden Park so many times, I know the drill. They'll also be shaking like a shitting dog because this is as big as the sport gets, okay? So 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, this is the greatest thing in rugby. It's okay. The greatest thing in rugby all year. It'll be the greatest thing in rugby until the next World Cup. This match is colossal. It's huge. If you like rugby a whole bunch, there's also Argentina versus Australia, 6:30 before that. You know, the Rugby Championship's got amazing dynamics this year because all teams have won one, lost one. They've all got their own merits as to how they're going to win it from here. But this game at Eden Park is just, it's the biggest
thing.
So
what was this cricket that everyone was talking about this morning? I saw it on social media. We played against England at Lords.
Look, the Proteas are doing bloody well right now. They went to Australia and they won. They've gone to England and now they've won. Three ODI series and they've just won 2-0.
Great.
They'll play again on Sunday. It's another series win. SA cricket is just, it's charting in all the right directions. It's looking really, really good. Next Wednesday, they'll start a T20 series against the Poms as well. And then, it's very exciting. After we won the Mace for the World Test Championship, I'm sure the women are going to be fired up as well. They're going to be playing a World Cup, no doubt, next week.
Right.
It's always on the cusp with the women. It's just damn exciting right now. All forms of SA cricket is in a super, super place. Curry Cup, final round of preliminary matches, the group stages. So the Bulls, the Sharks, Western Province, all shithouse this entire season. Done. No chance of making the semis.
Unbelievable.
So Johan Ackerman, who's the new, giant Bulls coach, okay? Not because he's a massive man, it's just that he's now the main guy. He's replaced Jake White. And he said that currently their injured 15 is better than their playing 15. So we've had a lot of injuries in SA Rugby of late. So it's not been great. But the big thing is that Griquas and Borland, they are currently top of the log, first and second. Then we've got Lions and Cheetahs and Pumas. So those are your top five teams going into the shakeup for the weekend. Sharks play the Pumas tonight at 7. Western Province will play Borland tomorrow, 2:45. Lions versus Griquas at 5. And the Bulls versus the Cheetahs. That's at Loftus, 7 o'clock. And then there's the Women's World Cup rugby, Gareth. We're into the knockout stages of that.
Okay.
So people get very excited.
They actually knock each other out?
They probably will.
Yeah.
You know, people get very excited about this.
Who are these people? Who are these people who get excited about this?
Yeah. So Sunday is the big one, okay? So
sure, if you tell me so.
Basically, the women Springboks need to try top their pool. So they're playing France. They've just beaten Italy for the first time. They hammered Brazil. Now they need to beat France. If they beat France, there's a very good chance they'll play Ireland in the next round.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't beat France, then basically they're going to play against New Zealand and they're going to get humbled. Now, I'm not like humbled as in that's a lesson. They're going to get humbled to the point where it's going to be sore. Like there's going to be tears. They're going to need to be consoled afterwards. Right. Hugs.
Right.
Extra chocolate. Whatever it is that gets you through a tough day.
Appointments with Dr. Hanan.
Because the All Black ladies, they are very good. Them in England, okay. So them in England are the best by 7 miles. And then the rest play a bit.
But they call those English women the lionesses or something, don't they?
It's just... same old story, right? Resources, professionalism,
right.
Player base, player resources. So it's really cool to cheer on these women. They've come on great leaps and bounds.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think this is kind of where the ceiling hits. But this is where the fairy tale moments also start. So if they can beat France, 4:45 on Sunday, happy days. If not, also happy days. Bafana, Bafana. Now, this is a story. So, you know, World Cup, big thing. We never really get to the World Cup because it's a little bit shit. But this time round, we're top of Group C. So if we finish top of Group C, we go to the World Cup in America land and the adjoining territories. So kind of a bit of drama, really, because Teboho Mokoena, he got 2 yellow cards during qualification.
Mm-hmm.
And then they fielded him in the next game against Lesotho at home, which Bafana Bafana scored 2-0. So they won. Now, you can't field an illegitimate player. He's meant to be suspended. So what normally happens is, sorry if I sound a bit nasty today, I got a little bit of flu. what normally happens is that you then forfeit those points and essentially lose the game. So Bafana Bafana currently top Group C on 13 points. Benin and Rwanda on 8. Nigeria is on 7. And there's 2 games to go. So all of those teams have the opportunity to get 6 more points. So okay, they can mathematically leapfrog Bafana Bafana and go to the World Cup. If we get docked those points, now this is the thing, FIFA haven't decided yet. There is so much on the go here. So Lesotho didn't protest the result, so therefore the points weren't taken away.
You know what we need at this point?
Bunny.
Danny Yordan. I know he's a crook. I know that he's been told by various courts that he's a bit handsy on the women. But I mean, this guy can, he'll go over there. He'll go over there with an envelope of money. He'll make a deal.
Gareth, I don't want to get straight into it. There was another preamble.
He's good with FIFA, you know?
This is the thing, right? FIFA haven't decided on this. They haven't closed this matter. So Benin and Rwanda, by the rules, because I think it was some other African team did this once and they were suspended. They lost the points. Because it's a clear rule.
They didn't bribe enough.
Bafana Bafana and Hugo Bruce and all those oaks are like, guys, we're really embarrassed. We made a mistake.
Yeah.
And then like, let's move on. But now all the other teams are going, no, screw that. You must lose those 3 points. So they're playing Lesotho today in Bloemfontein.
All right.
6 o'clock, big one. And if they win that, they go to 16 points and should really make the finals. Okay. But it's looming over us the whole time. Will they get docked these 3 points?
Telling you, we sent Danny. He knows all the other oaks who are corrupt. He can make a deal for us.
Look, Tuesday they play again against Nigeria. Both those games in Bloemfontein, also at 6 o'clock. But this is what it comes down to, right? This is a major deal. Bafana Bafana going to the World Cup is worth a lot of money.
Hell yes.
It's a big deal.
Mm.
Any of these teams going to the World Cup. So now, as you say, FIFA's got history with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Football's got history with this kind of stuff.
It's not like anyone looks at FIFA and goes, oh, there's no corruption there.
A bastion of honesty.
No, exactly.
So I'm not saying that corruption's going to happen. All I'm saying is that we're in a bit of a sticky wicket here.
I just got to tell you that we've got to play our strengths. And one of the things that South Africa is good at is corruption.
Get Danny back.
We need Danny for this. Saying. We need Ivan Khoza. We need who's that former minister of sport? I think he's dead, but Makengese Stofile. We need all those guys.
Well, perhaps it's already been in the mix, seeing as FIFA haven't docked us the points.
Yeah,
maybe they're already envelopes.
Yeah.
All right. So look, also there's US Open finals this weekend, right? So we get to the big crescendo in the women's draw. Anna Samova has just beaten Naomi Osaka, which is going to make James very grumpy today.
And why? She'll take on. Why is it going to make him upset?
James is a massive Naomi Osaka fan.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she will play Anna Masova, the 8th seed, will go on to take Arena Sabalenka. That'll be Saturday's final in the women's. And then the men. So Novak Djokovic, interesting stat, youngest ever guy to make all 4 Grand Slam semifinals, oldest ever guy to make all 4 Grand Slam semifinals. Huh. The absolute picture of longevity.
Wow.
What a guy. But that's where it ends, because he's taking on Alcaraz today. Alcaraz, he's young, he's strong.
Yeah, that's right.
He's Spanish.
On his way up.
So that's kind of what happens. I mean, I just feel like that's where we are in tennis right now in these Grand Slams. Everyone tries their best. Sinner Alcaraz final. It's kind of where it's at. Because Sinner will be taking on Olga Alessizime.
Okay.
He's Canadian, so I mean, right. It sounds quite disparaging.
Yeah.
So there are, guys. I mean, we got tennis US Open finals. There's the Formula One, if you're still into that. It's the Italian Grand Prix at Monza. Yeah, it's one of those romantic tracks with Ferrari, blah, blah, blah. There's some crickets, there's the football, and so much rugby. What a great weekend to be alive.
Absolutely.
Huh? Really is.
All right, so I have a story that I thought might interest you. In fact, there are 2 of these. The first one is, there's a Pennsylvania couple. Sound like normal people, like James and Carly are their names.
Such normal names.
Right? And they've been arrested. Police found their 5 children aged 5 to 14 locked in a filthy, bolted room described as a dungeon with boarded windows, no beds, feces on the walls, and surveillance cameras wired to the father's bedroom. The children have since been placed in protective care. The parents face multiple charges, including aggravated assault and child endangerment, with reports alleging that they used a stun gun for punishment. So if you have what you think is a difficult life, or you are one of those people who are into your 30s or 40s and you're still blaming your parents for stuff, Compared to these kids, you don't have very much ground. You got to get over it. You got to stop complaining about your parents. If they didn't do anything like this to you, you had a great childhood. All right? Yeah. Really. That's the lesson I'm taking from this.
Gosh, and the surveillance camera, just to make sure
wired to the dad's bedroom, just so he could see that they weren't doing too much of the feces on
the
walls.
So if they were writing stuff on the walls of the feces, if there was a typo.
Well, if they, for example, wrote, fuck you, dad, then he'd come down there and deal with them. Stun gun in hand.
Yeah. Okay.
You know? But if they just wrote poo or whatever, then he'd be like, do your thing.
Do your times tables with your poo.
Right, exactly. Yep.
Six times seven is not equal to 42.
Boarded up the windows. Like they, I don't know. I mean, I thought Fritzl was the worst parent, and he's probably still in the lead. Remember Joseph Fritzl from Austria?
Yeah, I mean, look, ultimately Fritzl's going to go down as like the Hitler of parents.
Yeah, for sure. But these guys are like coming up. They're close. There's some horrible people around, I reckon. And the funny thing is Pennsylvania is not all Hicksville, you know. It's a mostly quite smart state. They're not far from major urban centers. The first capital of the United States was Pennsylvania. Philadelphia, actually, the capital city of that state.
I just don't see any
state.
I don't see any excuse for this kind of behavior, because we it's 2025 still. You were exposed to enough to know this is really, really wrong.
Yeah.
It's
and you got to ask
anywhere in the world.
The dad, maybe the mom and the dad have some mental health condition. That's always an excuse that people use. But I just don't see how you can get away with this kind of shit. And obviously they've been doing it for a long time, because the youngest kid is 5, the oldest is 14, and there are 5 of them. So did the eldest have some normal life before they were put in the cellar? How do you disguise this? How do you keep this from your neighbors? How do your neighbors not find out that you have 5 children locked in the basement? I mean, there are so many questions here. People have got to go and ask.
Yeah, they,
you know,
really
always
are.
Ask the neighbors of like a serial killer. They always find out, like, what did you think of Johnny before he shot up the school? And then they go, oh, we always thought he was a nice kid. Or whatever.
Oh, I mean, like, what if the kids were such shits, the neighbors helped build the dungeon? So then we've actually got a bigger circle of trust issue here.
I don't know if that happened.
The kids could be running around and, like, you know, setting fire to stuff, putting firecrackers up dogs' assholes, and they're like, you know what? That's it. Dungeon.
Yeah. No, I don't think that was the thing. All right, so here's Simon Cowell. Leanne's going to the spa today. I just want to show you the difference between the Simon Cowell that there is now and the Simon Cowell that used to be. Take a look at this quickly. That's absolutely fucking terrifying, right? Look at that. I mean, in 2003, he looked like a human. He looked like a normal, pasty Brit. Not a lot going on there, but he looks like a normal dude. The hell is going on in 2025?
I always feel like when you look at someone's eyes, it's a very weird thing that you get so much out of that.
Yeah.
You look at the eyes on the right, like, those look dead.
Yeah, they are dead.
I know life's tough, and as you get older, you lose your sparkle.
Also, I've got to say, those teeth, I've noticed a lot of people with super, super white teeth. I think they're doing those kits that they do at home, where they do their own whitening. You got to be careful of that stuff, because if you go beyond a certain kind of white and it gets blinding, like Simon Cowell on the right there, you actually become a danger on the roads, because the amount of light reflected from your teeth can make me think that you're flashing your bright lights at me.
Yeah,
you know?
You know what? It's always then like the domino effect, right? So now he's spray tanned to death.
Yes.
Which then accentuates his chewing gum teeth.
Right.
And then those kind of things become big factors. On the left, he looks human because there's like some subtlety.
Yeah, and by the way, it's not the lines, really. I don't know if he's been for, like, surgery, but he's definitely had the Botox. You can see it on the brow. But those laugh lines on the left are kind of part of the character. You shouldn't want to get rid of those.
Don't want any comments on that. I don't find my laugh lines very funny.
Okay, well, there we are. That's a lesson for us all. Get old gracefully. Don't do a Simon
Cowell. So I had my platelet repair.
Your hair thing, yeah?
I had my first thingy yesterday. It was fascinating. So
coming along, huh?
Yeah, it's apparently it's going well.
Are they satisfied, the experts?
And apparently because I'm healthy and strong, I have good plasma levels.
Oh.
So they spin the blood.
Like Superman plasma.
Yeah, so then like this woman said to me, do you want to look at your plasma? I was like, okay, well, it's full yellow. Like, I don't know this kind of stuff. Yeah. I stay away from those things. So they spin the blood, they separate it, full yellow, and then they inject that back into your head.
Right.
It's fascinating.
It's all the good shit.
Yeah, so I had my head and anesthetic. I had numbing cream, which feels like it's still in my mouth for some reason.
What do you still have to do, or is it, or just let it grow?
Just let it grow, huh? Just let it grow.
It's like it's like a cricket crease or a golf green.
It is. It's exactly like that. Actually, it's like a good green. It'll be another year until we can get play.
And it's going to be a straight hairline, and you can then have all kinds of exciting hairstyles. Totally. Have you thought about those? Ben, you're not fantasizing too much about, wild hairstyles.
You know, I just think something respectable for my age. I don't think
like Greta Thunberg.
No.
Go for that.
I mean, maybe like in 3 or 4 years' time, go for something conventional like some cornrows. But otherwise, don't really push it out too much.
That's very exciting.
But I like learning about how your body can do better, but there's like a level. Like, I'm never going to Simon Cowell it.
No.
But it's cool, the things you can do and how good your blood is and like how
amazing. Has a lot to do with it.
What you can do with it. Platelet therapy.
Well, someone is very healthy because they keep trying to make it look like something's wrong with him. They keep telling us, Trump is very old and...
Well, he is old.
And he's going to die. And yes, of course. He's 79, I think he is at the moment. Or 78, 79. Doesn't matter. Anyway, he went offline for 2 days last week. I don't know if you saw this. Everyone thought, oh my God, he's dead. Like the media pushed this narrative. Just, there we go. Politico. Trump denies he's dead. Stupidest headline ever. But that happened over the weekend. Just because he wasn't truthing, because he doesn't tweet, he truths. He's got Truth Social, which is his thing. And he just took 2 days off. Labor Day weekend in America. And they thought he's dead. I mean, what I find hilarious about this, and clearly Trump did too because he mentioned it in the press conference, is that the former president, Joe Biden, was actually dead, certainly from here up, right?
Yeah, for a long time.
And he was not conscious at all. And for more than 2 days at a time, you didn't hear from Biden. Nobody seemed to have made a fuss of that.
With the amount of golf that Donald Trump plays, why wasn't that the first one? See, it's this clickbait bullshit. You know, as I sat down earlier, we're talking about these mental conditions or whatever.
Yeah.
People just need to get a life. This Trump obsession is so childish.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you want a boogeyman. You amp him up to be such a thing. It's just a terrible reflection. The person who wrote that article, all those people, get a life. Just get a life.
And try to repair the relationship, the damaged relationship you have with your dad.
Yes.
Because so much of this comes down to that. I've seldom met someone who is obsessed with Trump, whether positively or negatively, who has a good relationship with their dad.
So true.
Usually there's something going on there, and that's just a massive red flag. You know, be careful. If you're ever sitting on public transport, there's a tip for a Friday morning. You know, we try to be useful here. If you're ever sitting on public transport and you don't want anyone sitting next to you, like let's say the Gau train, or as I was over the weekend on a plane, and you just don't want, I ended up having, by the way, Riyad Musa sitting next to me on the plane, which was hilarious and lots of fun, and he's such a great guy, but you never can choose. If you want to chase people away and there are empty seats and it's not a ticket where you assigned a seat, this is the thing to do. And this guy has just put a helpful little public service video together for you to see. Take a look.
Oreos and dinner pans. This treat.
I've definitely done that before. I've sometimes sat there and especially when I'm overseas and I don't necessarily know anybody because who's going to go, there's nothing wrong with you, Gareth, in London or whatever. You just go, they leave you alone. They sit on the other side of the bus. They don't bother you. Who are you embarrassed about? I mean, I don't know anybody there.
No, do what you want.
Worth doing. So next time you're on the train or the bus or somewhere that you have to share a space with a lot of other people, just do that. It's great. Isn't that terrific advice?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Yeah. You wouldn't do it.
I'd
be embarrassed, would you?
Depends
to be a gonk.
No, it depends on my audience is. If I'm around other gonks, maybe I'd assimilate.
All right, well, before we go to the break, you've got to play that thing of the girl with the glasses now that you put up when we were talking to Dr. Hanan. Otherwise, I'm going to forget about it and people aren't going to know. And I don't understand why this girl is putting videos of herself online, but this stuff clearly is getting hits. This is what people are into. This is what people watch.
I am currently at the grocery store and I'm going to see how many purple things I can find.
Purple cleaner. More cleaner that purple. Is purple.
More purple.
Purple.
Purple. Some salsa. I do really love this salsa. Plus it's purple.
Well, look at that.
More purple. Some purple diapers.
More purple.
Purple.
Ooh, my Papa hair brush.
Papa headband. Love it. Love the Papa passing.